So welcome to the Darien cast. This is our first anniversary celebration.
It's and episode 3.
And episode 3, yeah. We had a bit of a hiatus, but you know, now we're going to be rolling along regularly, semi-annual broadcasts probably. This is Darien, and that guy over there in the funny hat is Steven. Say a few words, Steven. Introduce yourself to the audience.
My name's Steven Keller, and I hate zombies.
Fucking zombies.
Yeah, they're really annoying.
Grab the shotgun!
Don't unload that shotgun!
We did that shit for you! Okay.
So if like one of the four people listening to this hasn't actually heard that MC Chris bit about Kingdom Hearts versus Resident Evil 4, you really should, because it's pretty much the funniest bit of video game commentary ever.
It is ridiculously good. I link to it like every day on my blog, and if you look at my blog, I will link to it from the same place that I link to this, just for simplicity.
Yeah, the great thing about that blog is you talk a lot about baseball, and I freaking hate baseball.
Yeah, that is the good thing about my blog. And the other thing is, the other guy who reads my blog, I have two regular readers, and he's all like, why are you talking so much about video games? I want more baseball. So I'm just kind of fucked. I just can't possibly win.
You can talk about food, I guess. I don't think either of us has complained about your food post.
The other guy complains about the food posts.
Well, I just kind of skip past them. I actually read the baseball posts.
Yeah, he wants the baseball and the post about Bigfoot.
I think it might be okay just posting World of Warcraft. I think everyone likes that.
Yeah, it might be, but I have more to say than just about World of Warcraft. And
yeah,
people...
I hear you have something to say about friggin' steroids and baseball.
Man. Hell yes. Like eight
why
things a
just,
day to say about that.
Why don't I just go ahead and decide that steroids are fine to use? And who cares?
I don't know. They got a lot of people who care, I guess.
Why?
I'm all like, hell yeah, pass the roids, but you know, people.
I'm just still confused why Congress is investigating this. Don't. Like, literally, aren't there 1,000 better things that they could be doing with their time?
Well, do you remember the 1980s when Congress investigated heavy metal music to see if it was turning kids into Satan worshippers?
Again, I mean, I know that there's historical precedent for this sort of waste of time.
I'm just saying it's a step up from that, is all.
Is it? Honestly?
Well, at least baseball's more interesting than teenagers.
Yeah, but, like, look, I mean, Twisted Sister probably poses a bigger threat to the national security than does Barry Bonds. That's all I'm
saying. I don't know. Twisted Sister recorded a Christmas album. I don't think Barry Bonds has recorded a Christmas album. I'd buy it, though.
Are you arguing against me or for me?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I think that Twisted Sister Christmas album is much more threatening than the hat size of Barry Bonds.
He wears a pretty big hat.
Right. The size hat that he wears has apparently grown.
Well, and the thing is...
10 or 15 years.
He's all the way out in San Francisco, right?
Yes.
And I'm not. I'm in the East Coast office. And his hat size is personally threatening my well-being.
Yeah, actually, I can't see that as a problem. I mean, NASA should really be looking into it. It might screw up the moon or something. Another gravitational force.
I think they are looking into it. I think the plan is that they're going to use Barry Bonds' hat as the next space station. So they're trying to grow it as large as possible. This is all a government plot.
Maybe they could get Bruce Willis to land some sort of spacecraft on it and then drill a big hole and put a nuclear bomb in there and destroy it, thus saving us from Barry Bonds' head.
But it would be even cooler if they also had zombies all over the place and he had to press A a lot.
Come off the hill! Zombies killed your parents!
His ass is on fire!
Press A, bitch!
Oh my. So now that we're kind of back to talking about video games, I think that's theoretically what we're supposed to be talking about.
That's right.
Because, you see, you fell for it, too. You fell for it, too. We started this thing to talk about video games, and what are you talking about? Baseball.
Well, I was talking about the size of Barry Bonds' head. That's something everybody loves. It's much, much more interesting than whether or not he's a good baseball player.
Well, I don't think I've talked about that either, to be fair.
Well, you talked a lot about playoffs.
Yeah, during the playoffs.
I agree.
I'm guilty of that.
You know what? I'd like to note, the Patriots are 15-0. The freaking Red Sox won the World Series. I hate Boston. I hate Boston sports. I hope Tom Brady dies in a plane crash.
Does it have to be a plane crash, or could, like, Barry
No.
Bonds' head fall over on him?
Early anyway. You know what? Because freaking. You know what? And the thing is, all those Bostonians are, like, super freaking smug and annoying. And I guess you live out there.
I guess I do, yeah.
But you probably agree with me then. Bostonians are annoying as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
I hate them.
I mean, I'm not actually in Boston, but I'm annoying as hell, so I figure people closer to Boston are probably even more annoying than I am.
You don't have that annoying accent.
That's true. But can I tell you a secret? I've never actually met anybody with that accent. The only people
Are you
I've ever
serious?
heard who have that accent are people on TV attempting to play up their Boston accent.
Because I was in Boston the week that the freaking Red Sox won the World Series, and I heard lots of people with an annoying accent
Wait,
talking about how great the Red Sox were.
you were in Boston and you like
Yes.
didn't come over?
I was on business, so I was there for like 2 days, and I had to work.
Oh, fuck business.
And like, were you actually going to come into Boston?
I've done it before.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I assumed you weren't. But yeah, I had like no free time. It was really weird. I flew in, worked, and then flew out. It was
Huh.
great.
Sounds like a blast.
So.
I've never had a work trip.
They can be okay, or they can be terrible, depending on it. This one was kind of terrible. Also, I hate Boston, so it didn't help.
Is it just because of the sports, or do you hate the city outside of just the fact that our sports teams are kicking your sports teams in the ass right now?
Hey, you know, the Chargers are going to beat the Patriots down in the postseason.
Are the Chargers going to do this?
They're going to just wait.
I seem to didn't you say something like that last year, and then they lost to the Broncos?
They beat the Broncos last
They
year
beat
both
the
times.
Broncos?
They lost to the Patriots in the playoffs last year.
I could have sworn I remember Dave ranting and raving about how funny it was that his team beat yours. I must have been thinking of it backwards.
No, maybe 2 years ago the Broncos beat us, but
That could have been that.
that was a while ago. Now, last year we went 14-2 and then lost in the second round of the playoffs to the Patriots at home.
I see.
It was pretty
Yeah,
bad.
I kind of have the same mentality toward football that you have toward baseball. I'm kind of just like, hey.
Yeah, it's too exciting for you baseball fans.
Oh, it's way too exciting. There's nothing I find more exciting than a whole lot of people standing around in the cold, talking and talking and talking and talking, and then a bunch of fat guys run into each other and they go back to talking for a while.
Yeah, because that's a lot more interesting than watching the batter step up to the plate, tap the bat on the plate a couple times, take a couple swings. The pitcher looks
Hey!
around, stretches out his arm. Uh-oh, got to check out the guy on first. Uh-oh, batter.
This is why I watch Giants games, because then once every 9 at-bats, I get to watch the batter wobble back and forth and wonder if his head's going to fall off.
That's a good solution. That's a
I
really
think
good
it's a
solution.
compromise. I think it
They
is.
should at least add some sort of pitch clock to baseball, require the pitcher to throw the ball within a certain amount of time.
That would be excellent. They should set it really low, too, like
That'd be
6
fine with me.
seconds.
Yeah, you know, hey, you can talk about football being as slow as you want, but there's a 30-second play clock between every play, and the team's got to get a play off or else. So, at least there's some motivation.
Eh,
You
that's
know,
fair.
what else motivates me is zombies coming up the hill.
Shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head.
There's too many zombies anymore. Why is it's like every other movie that I watch has zombies in it too. I don't know what that is.
I think it's a sign of the times.
I think are we done with zombies yet?
I don't know if I'm ever going to be done with zombies, to be honest with you.
I'm getting kind of sick of them, I gotta say.
Oh wait, sick of them? I thought you
Yeah.
meant done, like killing them.
Oh, well, no, I mean, as
Because
long
it's
as.
looking like we're still, like, ass deep in zombies around here. I mean, I don't know what it
Yeah, for
looks like out
sure.
there, but around here.
This is how bad it's getting, right? I saw that I Am Legend movie, which is based on the novel, which is a vampire novel. However, in the movie, they replaced the vampires with zombies.
Was this by
I guess
Anne
just
Rice, or was
because.
this a different vampire
What's
novel?
that?
Was this one of the Anne Rice vampire novels, or a different one?
No, this is Richard Matheson. It's an older novel. But yeah, they replaced they just wholly took out all these zombies from the novel and made them took out all the vampires rather and made them zombies.
Huh.
I'm getting kind of sick of it.
Yeah, that's a little bit random. It's like, because a vampire, if you think about it, it's kind of like zombie plus plus, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a zombie plus it can turn into a bat, or it can turn into mist, or it can turn into a wolf, and it can equip all these sort everything I know about vampires I learned from Castlevania. I'm not gonna
Wait,
lie.
vampires can turn into wolves now?
They can in Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I
And
thought
that's
that was werewolves that turned into wolves.
well, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I've done my research, and what I have determined is that vampires turn into wolves when they press R2. That's all I know.
You know, now I just mentioned, I actually do remember that. That is true.
Yeah, see?
I
Science
was
doesn't lie.
always, but does Konami?
I hope not.
I
My
do
entire
too.
worldview is based on Konami never lying.
That's interesting. Yes.
Konami and Capcom.
Wait, Capcom lies, man.
Wait,
Boy, they lied
Capcom
about that.
lies? That would explain why the robot revolution didn't happen in 19XX like I was expecting it to.
I don't think we've been to 19XX just yet.
I wasn't sure. I kind of went with the 19 and figured, well, since we're done with 19 now, XX probably went by and I just slept through it.
Well, maybe X, both those X's are double digit numbers, so we're not even anywhere
Oh
close yet.
shit. That's possible. That's
So, yeah,
possible.
it's, maybe it's like 19, 2020. It's gonna be a
I
long
didn't.
time.
I wasn't hoping to wait that long for the robot revolution, to be honest with you.
Or maybe it's like some sort of weird base system where X's both represent numbers higher than 9. You know how like in hexadecimal A represents 10? Well, I don't know whatever how what I don't know what base would require you to get up to X, but maybe it's like that.
Hexadecimal.
Yes, hexadecimal. I
I
believe
think
that is a
that's what it
technical
is.
term for it.
It's in the hexadecimal system where the letter X can replace any number you damn well please.
So 19XX could be, who knows when. Did you see the screenshots they released from the new Street Fighter game?
No, I didn't.
I think they're calling it Street Fighter 4, perhaps. It
Wait,
looks slick.
they put out a
It's,
Street Fighter 3?
yeah, a long time ago, man.
I must have missed that one. I don't know. There were all these Street Fighter 2, this and this editions, and then Street Fighter Alpha 2, and then like Street Fighter Alpha 2, 3, and I just got really
Right.
confused.
Yeah, the Street Fighter, that was confusing because Street Fighter Alpha became its own series.
Yeah.
Which was, and then they had like Street Fighter versus SNK and all sorts of stuff, but the Street Fighter 4 or whatever it's called looks kind of cool. It's all 3D, but it uses like some cell shading and stuff, so it looks really animated.
Okay.
And it's going to be a 2D fighter even though it's in 3D, it'll still just be two dimensions of movement.
Don't think I've ever actually played a full 3D fighter that I actually liked.
Really? I'm a pretty big fan of Soul Calibur and
I tend to think of that more as kind of like 2D with rotation buttons, because it's not even,
I mean,
it doesn't have that much three-dimensional movement in it.
well, the 3D fighters tend not to be like too much 3D.
Yeah.
Mainly just sidestepping ability.
Yeah. And that I'm cool with. There were a few, well, roundabout when 3D was first being the big thing that actually had like a lot more 3D motion in them, and I found them really
Sure.
frustrating to hit my opponent.
Yeah, that's gonna be a little awkward. Oh, what I do remember was when. Oh, did you ever play Bushido Blade on the original PlayStation?
Oh, Lord, long time ago.
It was a kind of a cool like sword fighting kind of game, but it was 3D and you could kind of free run around and stuff, which was kind of cool. But the camera system would constantly clip through things, and like you wouldn't be able to see either dude because you'd be looking at a cherry blossom. And that was it.
Excellent.
Like the clipping was all screwed up on it. I'm not sure of that being the most frustrating thing ever. Trying to strike your opponent, and then the camera rotates through a wall, and all you get to see is the freaking wall.
Yeah, that's definitely the late 90s 3D game camera system issue right
Alternatively,
there.
it's the Assassin's Creed camera system.
Oh, Assassin's Creed does that too?
Freaking all the time. You're in the middle of fighting, like, no joke, 15 dudes. And you're just standing there, they're coming at you, and you pull some sweet combo move and like shows like changes the camera angle to show it off more, but then it doesn't return out of it correctly, and then you can't see your dude anymore. You can just see some freaking building, and you're like, wow, this
Excellent.
is really lame. There's no easy way to like you're like trying to rotate the camera back while holding down guard, and this dude slices your head open. It's kind of frustrating.
Must be a little tough to assassinate 15 guys all at the same time anyway.
So Assassin's Creed has a little bit of a flaw in it, which is this. The combat is really, really easy. So you can essentially assassinate an infinite number of people once you figure out how the combat works. Because about halfway through the game, I became an invincible killing machine. There's no need for stealth or running or escaping guards. It was just me slaughtering them. They would like come up to me and fight me, and then I would kill them. And
so
they would call
like,
for more guards, and I would kill them too.
It's kind of like Smash TV, but without enough mobs.
Yeah, sort of. The most frustrating thing to me is that there's this Xbox 360 achievement to like you unlock if you kill 25 guards in a single fight, and I kept trying to do it, but I could never like actually amass 25 at a single time. I'd be like right near it, like I'd get like 20, 21, and then I just couldn't get any more, and the fight would end, and I'd be clear again. I got really angry about that.
I could see that. Is it, you think maybe there's like one particular fight you need to do that in? Like, I don't know.
I don't know, I did pretty much everything you can do in the game. I read on the internet that there's like, essentially there's like only a couple places where you can do it. Like you go and do, time it right and collect and like run around and stay in the fight, but still keep running and find some other guards and pull them in the fight. It's kind of lame. I'm not going to bother.
That is kind of lame.
Sending the game back.
Yeah. I was in the same situation with the achievements in Half-Life 2, Episode 2. All the ones that weren't just, you know, something you'll get as you play the game were just really lame stuff that would just, like, take an hour of grinding to do. It was
you didn't,
kill
every single grub in the game?
I didn't do that. I didn't get into the kill, like, 100 zombies with thrown objects. Standing
oh, I'm totally
in
doing
place.
That, 'cause that's my standard mode of operation anyway.
Well, here's the trouble.
Yeah.
Exploding thrown objects don't count.
No, they do not.
You have to do it all with, like, tires and the one saw blade that's in the whole game.
Well, I don't know. You get barrels as well. Barrels, if they're the non-exploding type, are quite effective.
That's true.
Yeah, there's a distinct lack of saw blades. I lost my saw blade. I can't find it.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
The saw blades are a lot of fun, I have to agree. I really like trying to shoot it right at the zombie so it just splits off the head grab instead of actually cutting it in half.
Yeah, that's nice too. That's pretty fun.
That's my saw blade trick.
Oh, God. Maybe if you want to go play Ravenholm again. There's an achievement in Half-Life 2 on the orange box for beating Ravenholm only using the gravity gun, which I would like to go grab. That'd be a cool one to get.
It seems like a pretty easy one to get. Oh, no, there's that
Except
one
the...
part
yep,
where you're on the roof
right.
and all the fast zombies are charging at you.
Yeah, that one's going to be a trick.
Though there is a hack... Well, I don't know if it works in the Orange Box 360 version, but there is a hack place you can stand where they like, can't get to you or something. Oh, you pile up boxes by the drain pipes, because that's what they climb up to get to you, and they can't reach the drain pipe.
Well, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing about the gravity gun, is it lets you stack boxes from, like, 10 feet away.
Yeah, that's a ton of fun.
What? Wait, you don't like to stack boxes and then maybe jump on the boxes? Come on.
I'm actually impressed at how relatively restrained they are with the stacking crate puzzles. I mean, there's a few of them in every episode and in Half-Life 2. But,
you know why this is? I know why this is.
Why?
It's because Chet and Eric both work for Valve. And they make sure Valve puts in a few crate stacking puzzles just for laughs. But they also make sure that Valve doesn't put in too many crate stacking puzzles.
I wonder if they're closely monitoring the start to crate ratio of all the Half-Life episodes.
I'd like to think they are. I do remember an anecdote they told once about the first Half-Life where Gabe Newell admitted that he put a crate right there at the beginning of the game just as his way of admitting defeat on the start to crate test.
It's funny, though, because, like, given how long the intro for Half-Life is before anything actually happens, they could have really, really stretched it out.
Yeah, that's true. But it's, like, right there at the beginning, you look to the left, and there's this big robot moving some crates. And
oh, that's right.
That's it.
The tram.
That's it.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I don't know how far I am through Episode 2. It feels like I'm fairly far.
What part are you up to now?
The same part I was last time. I didn't play it at all today.
Oh, let me try to remember. I think that's about halfway through.
That's kind of what it feels like, about halfway. Trying to go get the car.
I hate the car, by
And
the way.
you hate it? Well, I'm not surprised. You.
I hate it a lot less in episode 2 than I did in Half-Life 2 because it can't flip over.
Oh, that's good.
You never have to get out of the damn car and shoot it with the gravity gun until it's the right way up.
Was probably not the world's greatest mechanic.
That was not my favorite part of the whole game, especially in Half-Life 2, when you first get the car, it starts fucking upside down. And the very first thing you do with the car is get out, shoot it with the gravity gun while there are ant lions charging at you. It didn't get my car experience off to a good start, to be honest with you.
Yeah, honestly, I'm fairly sick of the ant lions in Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
I don't know why they keep making me fight them.
The only two times I've ever liked ant lions, I liked the part in the parking garage in episode 1. I thought that was pretty cool, just trying to figure out how to deal with ant lions, coming up the hill. You can't shoot them in the head all day long, you run out of ammo. So you gotta like find the cars, and I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I
And
like that.
I liked running around dodging the ant lion guard in the tunnels in episode 2.
Yeah, that was cool. I also like that. And I also like using the ant lions in the assault on Nova Prospect in
I
Half-Life
forgot
2.
about that. Yeah, that was kind of cool. It got a little
Which,
old a little fast, but it was kind of cool.
well, if you're like me, when you play Half-Life, you do anything you can never to fire weapons.
Oh, yeah.
So
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much the ant lions became my gun for that entire section. Like, no reason to actually use my guns. I'll let the ant lions do the work for me.
Once I got the hive hand in the first Half-Life, I tried to use like
Yes.
no other weapons ever. I'm just like, kill everything
Yes.
with the hive hand.
Though I did love the MP5 in the original Half-Life. I love that gun so much.
I have to say I was pretty partial to the glue-on gun. Made me feel like a Ghostbuster, you know?
The Egon gun, that was great.
Yeah, that's the one.
They need to bring that in Half-Life 2. I know we got the grav gun, but it's not the Egon gun.
It's not even at all the same. We have the Gauss cannon mounted on the car in one of the parts in Half-Life 2. So that was kind of
Right.
a nice throwback, but I want the Gauss cannon. Or
Yeah, there was
yeah.
sort of a, at least certainly felt like anyway, a larger variety of weapons in Half-Life than in Half-Life 2.
I have to agree. A lot of the weapons in Half-Life 2 just seem kind of like the same thing, but with a higher firing rate.
Right. I mean, the difference between the Combine Assault Rifle and the Standard Assault Rifle is pretty small.
And even
Because,
then,
oh yeah, one fires a grenade, the other fires a bouncing ball of energy.
I never managed to hit a damn thing with that bouncing ball of energy either.
Oh, really? It's useful only in certain circumstances.
I know, and I like, oh, look, a narrow tunnel packed with dudes. And I shoot it and it hits the wall and just like bounces up off into nowhere. I'm like, good job.
I quite like it.
It's cool, I just never hit anything with it.
Now, you haven't played Portal yet, right?
I haven't. Everybody in the world keeps telling me I should.
Yeah, the energy balls factor prominently in the Portal.
Excellent.
Though not you firing it, you using it and sending it through portals.
Yeah, my understanding is you don't fire anything in Portal.
We fire portals.
Well, yeah, but no, like, guns or anything.
You have a portal gun.
Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
You're just trying to make my head swell up so I'll look like Barry Bonds.
That's right. There's no real combat. There are some times that you fight some things, sort of, but you have to just kill them with portals.
Do you
Like,
shoot them in the head with the portals?
unfortunately not. But you can do nasty things like open a portal above some acid, and then open another portal below them, so they fall through the portal and into the acid.
Can you open a portal under the acid so all the acid drains onto them?
No.
Oh, rip
That would be
off.
sweet, though.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, so Portal's pretty much one of the most creative games I've played in a really, really long time. And does hurt my head, though, playing it sometimes. Because you have to really kind of think things very differently than you do in most games. Because you can kind of just do whatever you. So you know the general concept, right? You have two different
Yes.
portals. They stick to flat surfaces, and you can walk through one and come out the other. And the weird thing about it is you always come out of the portal perpendicular to the surface that it's on. So if it's on the ground, you come out, going up toward the ceiling. If it's on the ceiling, you come up toward the ground. But you never lose your inertia. So if you're going really fast going through one, you'll come out of the other really fast. But like so you can do trippy things like put one at the bottom of a really big fall and put the other one on the wall. So you'll fall through, you'll jump down, accumulate a whole bunch of inertia falling, fall through the one on the floor, and then come shooting out like a cannon of the one that's on the wall. And go jumping across a big pit or something really weird.
That's pretty cool. Is there fall damage in Portal?
No.
Oh, cool. I like
So
games
you
with no
can.
fall damage.
Yeah. But there's not really many places where it would even be a factor.
Well, I was wondering, obviously it's moot, but mainly I was wondering if you took a great big fall and then ended up converting it to like horizontal momentum if you take damage when you landed from that.
Oh, yeah, no, you
But
don't.
clearly not.
You're fine. So
You know.
it's it really experiment and stuff, and of course there's some weird parts where you'll be in like a shallow room with not enough space to, and you need to jump across a pit, not enough space to actually fall and get the momentum you need. We'll put a portal in the ceiling and then one right below it in the floor, and fall through both of them over and over and over, gaining a bunch of momentum, and then as you're still falling, fire a portal at the wall, fall through the one on the ground, and then go flying across the pit. And it's just those kinds of screwy ways of rethinking about a room is really, 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 really interesting.
Really, 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 really interesting?
Yes.
Holy shit, that's a lot of interesting.
The only complaint is the game's really short. You can
Is it,
finish it in
wait.
like 2 or 3 hours.
It's really, or is it really, 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 really short?
It's really, really? Maybe we'll go with two.
Two reallys?
Yeah,
Two
I
really,
finished
like
it.
in a question mark? Like a
I think
really
I
and a
finished
half?
it in 3 hours.
That is pretty short.
But then once you finish it, you can go back and there's a bunch of advanced levels where it's basically the levels you played through, but now they're harder because they've removed certain things that were helpful before. So now you gotta start thinking about them strangely again.
That does sound cool. You're not the only person who's told me I need to play this game, so I probably will sometime.
The best
Fact, I
part though is
definitely will sometime.
it's one of the funniest games I've ever played by quite a bit.
I've heard this too.
It's just hard to express
In fact,
precisely.
I've been told that I remind people of GLaDOS, which I'm not 100% sure is a compliment.
No. GLaDOS is the evil computer that is mocking you
That's
and
what I'm told.
well al alternately mocking and encouraging you as you make your way through the testing of
Well,
the game, the testing facility.
to be fair, I can see why people would be reminded of an evil computer that alternately mocks and encourages you by listening to me. Because
Yeah.
that is pretty accurate, I have to say.
And it does regularly promise you cake. Like, once you finish your trials, you are assured that you will be given some cake.
Excellent.
There will be a party, and there will be cake, and your friends will be invited.
There is what I understand is a reference to this in World of Warcraft these days.
Oh, is there really?
Yep, they added a rare cooking recipe that makes an item called delicious chocolate cake, and
Excellent.
it does nothing except if you spend such and such a time eating it, you gain a buff called Very Happy for 1 hour.
Oh,
I
I
can
hope the
make it.
cake is delicious and moist.
I'm told it is.
Excellent. Yeah, the game is also it also has what I think is probably the best credit sequence I've ever seen in a video game, where the computer writes you an email and then sings it to you as it writes it.
That is pretty fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Oh, dear.
Which is all about doing science and how the cake is delicious and moist. The sense of humor in the game is unique. And it makes me wish though, that there were more funny games.
Yeah, I know where you're
Kind of
coming from
weird that games
there.
are all so serious.
That's one of the things I always liked about the Ratchet and Clank games is that they always made me laugh.
I keep meaning to actually play one of those someday.
I recommend the first two more highly than the latter two. I think
Yeah.
they're more coherent, they're a little funnier, they have better atmosphere, and I think generally they just play a little stronger. As far as I'm concerned, the third one was the weakest one in the series.
Are you excited about the PS3 one at all? It's gotten fairly decent reviews.
I would be if I were any more excited about the PS3.
Yeah, but you know that within within a couple of years, you'll end up buying a PS3.
Yeah. Oh, you're not wrong. As soon as it comes down to some sort of intelligent price and has some actual software on it, I'll probably have one. I'm not
Yeah,
making any bones about that.
I keep thinking about buying a PS3 just because I want a Blu-ray player. And honestly, if there were a single game that I really wanted on the PS3, I would probably purchase one. It's very strange. Like, I'm on the verge of it. I'm pretty much Sony's ideal customer, which is I just really want a Blu-ray player. But there's not really a single game on there that I would purchase. So, like, I'd feel weird buying a PS3 and no video games for it.
You'd fit in pretty well. It has like the lowest tie rate of any console in history.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, am I really gonna go buy it? Like, go to the store and like a PS3. Oh, check any games for that? Nope. But I will take a copy of Goodfellas, please, on Blu-ray and disc. I just feel like that would be strange.
You will be the only person I know who's ever spent $600 to watch Goodfellas.
It's down to 400 now for the 20 gig model.
You'll be the only person I know who's ever spent $400 to watch Goodfellas.
Hey, it's a great film. I love it.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying, $400 a little more than I think
Plus,
I'd pay.
I also get Ratatouille, which I really want on HD DVD, but it's not on there for some reason because Disney loves Blu-ray.
Are you sure it's not just because Disney hates Horde?
Possibly. No, Disney's all about Blu-ray. They're not on the HD DVD.
Yeah, that's a lot of the reason why I've avoided the entire next generation video disc market. It's just because it's so stupid right now with all the companies, rawr, 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 we only release on one format or the other. It's like,
Yeah. I decided to just be a sucker and assume I'll buy both. I will be the media company's bitch.
I decided I would just wait until there was a player that played both and was cheap and get that.
Yeah, I assume that will come out eventually, but then
Oh, it will.
I don't know. I feel like there's inevitability that I'm going to purchase a PlayStation 3 at some point in time, so I'll just assume that's going to be my Blu-ray player eventually.
That's fair enough.
The thing is, like, when Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out, I'm going to need to do everything in my power not to buy it. Because I didn't like Metal Gear Solid 2, and I was like, alright, until Metal Gear Solid. Then a friend of mine said, oh, but Metal Gear Solid 3 is awesome, you gotta check it out. And he's like, he didn't like 2 either, and Metal Gear Solid 3 was supposed to return to form. And so I bought Metal Gear Solid 3 and freaking hated it even more than Metal Gear Solid 2. But then I look at the videos for MGS4, and I'm like, oh, those look pretty good. But then I gotta remember that I've been burned twice now. I should really learn my lesson with that
Yeah.
franchise.
Now I liked Metal Gear Solid 2, but everything I've heard or seen or read about Metal Gear Solid 3 makes me think I would probably hate it more than any video game I've paid full price for in, what is that, 9 years now.
I don't know if you hate it that much, but I quit playing it halfway through because it's so weird. It's such a weird game that
It
it's
sounds like
like
the most
catch food.
boring game of all time.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in it, I think, but it's like it's got all the regular Metal Gear Solid problems, such as mainly a camera that lets you only see 3 feet ahead of you. But the game's all out in the open. It's like in the jungle mainly, and so this becomes more frustrating than ever. Because like when it's just sort of short corridors, it's okay, but when you're out in the freaking jungle, you really, really want to be able to see more, and you can't easily. You catch food, which is not really
Yeah.
fun.
Food meter tops on my list of reasons why I'm not interested in this game. Secondary would be 100,000 different tweaky little camouflage types that you have to use throughout the game.
Yeah, I never got a hang on that. It was like, oh, so you're moving along the foliage or whatever, and you step off the green leaves onto the brown leaves for 2 seconds. You need to change your camouflage or go into the menu, switch brown camouflage. 2 seconds later, you're onto the cement wall. Have to switch a camouflage.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Even if that didn't require a menu hit every 3 seconds, I probably still wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. The thing is, like, there was a lot of good stuff kind of going on around the edges. Like, the storyline was pretty cool, and seeing Revolver Ocelot Like, because it's a prequel, so seeing like the
Yeah.
origins of Ocelot's pretty neat. And
Ocelot is a really awesome villain. That's
yeah, he is.
one of the things that's bumming me out about Metal Gear Solid 4, is that it
Yeah.
seems like they've just replaced him with Liquid Snake again. And Liquid Snake was a shitty villain. I mean, he was okay if you've never seen Die Hard, but it's like I've done this villain before.
Well, I like Liquid Snake, all right, I suppose.
Well, okay, he's not the worst villain ever, but he's Ocelot's a lot more interesting.
Yes, and hey, in Metal Gear Solid 3, you get to learn how he got a revolver, and why he took that up.
The other advantage, though, is that I can learn that on Wikipedia.
True.
And
True.
already did. So that pretty much removes my motivation for playing this game.
Yeah, I also went and ended up just Wikipedia and looking at the storyline. When I said I was not going to play it, I was like, all right, I'm just going to read how the story turns out. So I did that. It was much more satisfying than catching and eating frogs.
Yeah, I
Oh,
was
but you
kind
have
of in
to
the
use the
same boat.
catalog and learn which frogs you can eat and which ones are poisonous. That's fun.
Seriously?
That's a goddamn solid snake naturalist. That's a real good game there.
That's Naked Snake to you.
The best part is, like, early on in the game, like you get dropped off for this 8-hour mission. I'm telling you, all right, gotta get in and out of here, Snake, within 8 hours. So you want to go ahead and catch some food or something so you don't get too hungry. I'm like, wait, what? It's 8 hours.
The same thing at the beginning of the first Metal Gear Solid, watching the movies at the beginning, I had the same reaction because they're like, your time limit for this mission is 24 hours, and we've injected you with nanomachines that'll keep you from having to eat. And I'm like, I'm a giant fat man, and I don't have any nanomachines, and I can go 24 hours without a hamburger if my life depends on it. What the
Right,
hell is wrong with Snake?
you never see James Bond stopping in the middle of a mission to bust out the protein shake.
He should have some insurer with him.
That'd be interesting. It's like, hold on, guys, I need my Cliff Bar. I'll be right back. But apparently, they're not capable of giving Snake any of that kind of stuff. They give him like a knife or whatever, but no granola. He's gotta find what he. It's very, very weird. Yeah, I guess maybe there's something about the DNA makeup of Snake that maybe he's like hypoglycemic or diabetic or something. He has to eat regularly or he dies. I'm not clear.
I'm not 100% sure that if you have such a sensitive nutritional problem like that, you can just like eat shit you find lying around in the forest and be okay. I mean,
No,
most of
not
the
all the
diabetics I
stuff like
know.
no. Not everything you eat you can help you. Some of it doesn't taste good and doesn't feed you and makes you get sick. See?
Well,
That's why you've got a
could be.
catalog of whether
Could
the
be.
rats are tasty or not.
Yeah.
It's a lot like how in NetHack you have to randomly drink potions until you can identify them for that game.
Hell
Kind of
yes.
like that for. Except none of the potions, or none of the food in Metal Gear Solid 3 kills you instantly, so that's kind of a bonus.
That's a rip-off. My favorite thing, that was my favorite part about playing any game, any roguelike game like that, Angband or NetHack or
Yeah.
anything like that, is you run into the stuff that just randomly kills you. And
Yeah,
then you have the
that's.
people on the internet e-peening about backing up save files. And I'm like, I'll stop backing up save files when they stop putting in shit that just kills me at random, arbitrarily.
Here's my take on that though. Every now and then I go through NetHack phase, and I'm not very good. I've never even come close to beating it, but I don't back up my save files because my theory is. I'm playing NetHack, and that's part of the NetHack experience, is to get killed randomly and just start over.
I guess I could see that. I don't know.
But I also certainly understand why the hell that's not really the world's greatest game design.
Yeah.
But NetHack is purely from a masochistic kind of side.
I'm every time I play Angband, and I go through a phase for that every once in a while, I will always I scum all my save files, and I turn on the stair scum cheat too, because you know what? Any level that causes the game to generate the comment, "What a boring place," I don't want to play that level. I have better things to do with my time than play a level described as boring by the game.
What does that mean? I'm not a big Angband guy.
Well, basically, a level, every time it generates a level, it has a rating on it that's
Yeah.
impacted by the number of out-of-depth monsters, out-of-depth treasure, monster pits, monster vaults, things like that in it. So it gets a higher rating for having more unusual things on it. So if you're in the middle of the level range where like everything's an orc and this level generates with a vampire on it, that'll make it more interesting according to the game.
I see.
Or if it generates with some extremely powerful magic sword on it, the game considers it more interesting. So it's not even like it gets easier if you turn it up, because you have more out-of-depth monsters and big rooms full of monsters you have to do. It
Right.
just gets more interesting.
There's a chance that it just generates nothing interesting.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Well, some people consider that, as you say, that's just, part of the game experience.
I
Sometimes the
like.
levels have nothing but brown yeeks and bones on them, and sometimes they don't. And that's sure, it's part of the experience, but I'll skip that part of the experience, thank you.
I like explaining to people who have never played a roguelike how they work.
I know.
Because people can't believe it. I'm like, okay, so yeah. It's like NetHack, right? You start off, you pick your class, and there's like 15 different classes and a bunch of different races you can choose from, and they're all different. And then you walk down to the dungeon, and immediately things start trying to kill you. And oh yeah, you're an at symbol, by the way. And she's kind of like walking along, but you find a ring and you put it on, and it's a cursed ring, and now you can't carry any more items. And you can't take it off either. And at that
Oh
point in
yeah.
time, you pretty much die of starvation really quickly. I'm like, really? That's it? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's pretty much the game. And then sometimes you'll come across like something, and it makes some weird ASCII symbol, and you don't know what it is, and it's like a dragon, and it eats you.
Yeah.
Can't believe such games exist.
My favorite thing is explaining to people who've never played games like this before. I'm not 100% familiar with NetHack, but in Angband there are like 100,000 different types of monsters. And of
Wow.
course they're all represented by different ASCII symbol in a different color and
Right.
such and such. But so are all of the items.
Right, yes.
So
Same.
trying to explain to people how to tell the difference between a monster and an item is an interesting experience.
Well, yeah, in NetHack, it's like, okay, the underscores, those are alters, and you don't wanna screw around with the alter that you're not aligned with. And by the way, nothing's identified for you at first. You gotta figure that out. And they're like, well, how do you figure it out? You can either find scrolls of identification, but by the way, they won't be identified immediately either.
I
Or you can just try using them and see what happens, but that could be bad because some of them may kill you immediately. One of the classic ways in NetHack to identify items, like rings, you drop a ring down the sink and see what happens. And then it'll basically give you a hint as to what type of ring it was. But it's like you could be dropping the greatest ring ever down the sink, and there's no way to get it back once you've done it. But hey, you'll know what that ring does if you ever come across it again.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of interesting. Somebody made like a modern, real roguelike and didn't easy it down at all.
How do you mean?
Well, imagine like if you made like a fully slick graphically driven one, roguelike, made it just as difficult as Angband or NetHack or Rogue.
I'm not sure what
It'd
the
be
point would
interesting.
be. Nobody would buy it.
Well, I would.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, like six or seven people would buy it, but
NetHack.
how's that?
Why I said I like NetHack.
Oh,
Well, the thing that
I
impresses me
lost the
about all
first
those
half
games
of it.
is how complex they are.
I know.
There's like so many things to do. You compare it to like most modern games, and for all the amount of work that goes into them and the huge budgets, you really have like a small handful of enemies usually and pretty static environments and stuff.
And not very many actions you can pick in any given situation.
Right. Like NetHack, there's so many solutions to all sorts of things, and they're all randomly generated and staggering amount of stuff.
I like the randomly generated approach in some cases, but then in some
Yeah.
cases, I don't know, I think it can leave things a little bit bland.
Oh, for
You know, no,
sure.
like that's one of the problems I had with Diablo 2 when that came out, is that I wasn't getting into the randomly generated overworld because it's like every single screen was just big empty field with mobs in it.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
When it got
That's kind of Diablo 2.
When you got into some place, like you're in an evil castle or whatever, then I was more interested in it because you have, twists and turns and what's down this hallway. But when you're in the overworld, it's just like one big field. and there might be a hut that has like a minor healing potion in it. And that'll be it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the long and short of it. I maintain that Diablo 2 is a really good game if you're playing it with some people you know, and kind of a really mediocre game single player.
I go through, whenever I play Diablo 2, I get into a period where I just get really into it.
Yeah.
And then that lasts until like most of the way through chapter 2.
Yeah.
And then I get into chapter 3 and I'm like, oh, the
Ugh.
damn swamp again with the flares. And I like just stop right away.
I'm with you there, man. I can never get through chapter 3 either.
I have never finished Diablo 2 without using cheat codes to skip chapter 3.
I finished it when it came out, but I was playing with friends. I've never gotten past chapter 3 in a replay.
Yeah.
That's one nice thing about playing it with friends too. So it's like, you're playing with them, so you all want to get through it, so you force yourself to get through chapter 3 so you
Yeah.
can get to the good stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. It's always more entertaining. I mean, even if you're just, bullshitting over vent or whatever while you're all standing around in the jungle killing flares,
Exactly.
that makes it go easier right there. You're not just sitting here being like, click, 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 click. Why am I not playing Mario instead? Because that's
Yeah.
usually what happens to me.
Man, it makes me think of how old school Diablo 2 is. I played it co-op with my buddy, but we didn't have any vent or anything like that. We were on the actual telephone
Whoa. On the
talking to one
phone?
another. Yes.
I remember those things.
Yeah.
Those are those annoying little plastic boxes that beep at me all day long.
Pretty much, yeah. So talking to him, my 900 MHz cordless phone, my headset attached.
Excellent.
That's why I rolled that way. Oh, and that was also I think we played direct TCP IP connection.
Hell
Battle.net
yes.
was having so many problems
Hell
back
yes.
then.
I played the original Diablo
Oh
with
yeah,
a friend of mine over the direct
dial-up modem.
TCP IP. Hell yeah.
Oh, you did it over the internet. Okay.
Or wait, maybe
I
it
remember,
was.
like,
No, it was
Duke Nukem
internet.
and stuff, just dialing into somebody else's system.
I used to do that with Doom a
Yeah, me
couple of
too.
when I was in high school. Some friends and I used to play Doom two-player death matches, and I'd always lose because I was awful.
Yeah, I got pretty good at Doom too, playing. There's a local BBS that had it had 8 lines. It was like and you had to pay some small monthly fee to be part of it. But they had the bridging software, so you could dial into that and play Doom 4 ways.
That's pretty awesome.
Because they had the eight nodes, and other people had Doom on there. Get together and 4 people played Doom 2. And I got really good at Doom 2 that way, playing it constantly.
We never had any BBSs in this area that were anything like that sophisticated. Like, the only
This was.
multiplayer games we played over the BBS were like Lord
Yes, Lord, Trade Wars.
and Trade Wars. Yep. And what was the other one? Arm of the Gods, I think it was called, was really big.
Yeah, nice, yeah. I remember really being into Lord until I realized it was a very, very simplistic game, which was about a week into my playing Lord. I realized that there's like
Yeah.
nothing to it. I was retarded. And the only thing to do really was the player versus player, but it was just pretty much who had been playing longer.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's
And
a total grind fest.
Lord sucked.
I got really into Lord, and I had the same experience as you. Like a week into it, I realized that this whole game is just completely grindy. It's just, you have your 15 actions a day, so you load it up, you kill 15 mobs, and then you're done.
Right.
But what was so I was 13 at the time, and it has lots of sex in it, so that pretty much kept me playing for a while. I'm like,
Yeah, there is some
woo,
sex in it.
ASCII sex scene.
Well, the other thing is
Sail.
there were a bunch of mods for it too that people could download and
Oh yeah.
install, and
Oh yeah.
like some of them just completely broke the freaking game.
I know.
I
I
remember there's like,
remember.
yeah, go
No, you
ahead.
go ahead. Okay. We had this one installed on the BBS where I used to play Lord all the time. And it had, I don't remember what it was, but there was this axe that you could get like really easily in it that was outrageously powerful. It's like way more powerful than any other weapon in the game. So before very long, everybody had this axe of instant kill.
Yeah, there's this one that I was on is like it made it super easy to get gems, which is just like everyone's like you're like suddenly completely and totally rich and you can buy all sorts of turns and it just made the entire thing seem pointless. So it's like the only time lore was actually any good is if it was just vanilla lore, and even then it wasn't very good.
Yeah, you're totally right. Though, to be fair, at the time, it seemed better than it does in retrospect because it's like
Absolutely.
the only kind of multiplayer game other than, playing Super Mario World with your brother. It's like
Right.
you gotta play Lord if you want to play with
Right,
100
yeah,
other
I mean,
people.
it was still better than most MUDs, I'll say that much.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've played a couple of MUDs, but they the main problem I had with MUDs is that they were impossible to start.
Yep.
If it's like a running established MUD, you can't start a new character because there are like 18 people hanging out where you spawn who kill you right away as soon as you spawn in.
Yeah, and even the ones that didn't, I mean, they're really complex to figure out, and I don't know, I've just never gotten into them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'm waiting for, though. I mentioned this to you the other night, but so I played through Mass Effect, which I think is one of the best games of the year. Despite, okay, so Mass Effect is a really cool sci-fi shooter RPG kind of thing. It's a weird mix of games or genres, really, because it pretty much, for the most part, plays like a squad-based tactical third-person shooter, like Gears of War or Rainbow Six Vegas or something like that on all those Xbox games, where it's like you and two squad mates. You can give them orders, direct them to positions, take fire or take cover, fire, cover me, that kind of stuff. But then it's got a total RPG mix too, because you have roles. Like you can be a soldier or an engineer, which is basically like a cleric kind of thing, or you can be like a biotic, which is you have psionic powers, or some sort of hybrid class, any of those hybrids. And you level up and stuff, and you gain abilities, and it's really weird, because then, like, who you have on your team is going to affect what your strategy is. Like, if it's you and two engineers, you're going to have to play differently than if it's you and two soldiers or something like that. And but you level up and stuff, and so, like, as you go, your abilities change. You do more damage if you're shooting, or you get new powers, that kind of thing. And I don't know, the combat system just starts off being punishingly difficult. Before you figure out that you really have to take combat, and the game will not go easy on you, which I was just playing on a normal difficulty level, and I'm pretty good at shooters, and I was like, eh, right. I figured the first levels were going to be basically me walking through mowing down enemies. No. I got killed in the second encounter. It's like a couple of
Excellent.
robots just came up and blasted me in the head, and I died. Because I was just running up to engage them. I was like, fuck this, I'm going to go kill these dudes. I got a pistol, I'm good.
Yep.
And they tore me to pieces, and I was just I'm really surprised that actually a game won't let you get killed that early, because virtually all modern games have some ridiculously lengthy tutorial period
Yep.
where the game like holds your hand. Mass Effect is kind of the opposite. It pretty much just immediately throws you into it and says, you better figure out how to play this game, because we're not going to give you any real assistance, which is took me about 4 hours to actually kind of get a handle on everything in the game. But it ends up working out really well, and the different combinations of classes make it really fun, and the action's really quick. There's all these RPG elements as you level your guy up and go down your skill tree and figure out what kind of skills you need and want. But the one real problem with the game is that it's got the world's worst equipment interface. I've never, and just the general overall equipment system is really strange. Like, you get tons and tons and tons of loot, and almost all of it is garbage. And then to make it worse, like, you have this weird inventory screen where you can't easily compare weapons. But like if somebody's not in your party and they have weapons equipped, there's no way. Like, if you get some sort of armor for like your alien buddy and he's not in your party at the moment, you can't tell if this armor is better or worse than the stuff he's wearing. There's just no way to compare items to people who are not currently in your party, which is kind of a mistake. But then also, like, the items don't stack by name at all, and there's no way to sort them. So it's really easy for you to have, say, 200 different items. Or actually, no, I'm sorry, there's like a 150 item limit, so it's pretty easy to have more than 150 items in your inventory. And, like, you want to scroll through and find a good gun for yourself? Well, you just have this long list of fucking guns, and you can't, like, and the guns aren't so bad. The real thing is that weapons can have mods. Like, you can put different types of ammo into your gun. But, like, there's like a good 10 different ammo types, it feels like. And there's different variations. So there's like, oh, you have anti-personnel rounds one, but then anti-personnel rounds two are better, and then anti-personnel rounds three and four
Yep.
and five, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But again, they don't stack by name or anything. They're listed in your inventory, just the order in which you got them. So if you
Excellent.
want to, if like you're fighting robots, you want to put in your armor piercing rounds that do extra damage against robots. We got to go equip everyone with the best armor piercing rounds that you have, but there's no way easily to figure out if we come up, like, all right, here, I got armor piercing rounds three. Do I have any armor piercing rounds four? The only way to find out really is to kind of scroll through your entire list of stuff. And it's just, it's brainless or brain dead. I can't even begin to imagine how such a poor interface got put in the game. I mean, clearly it wasn't properly finished.
Yeah.
Because what game, seriously, what modern RPG does not have a sort by name button? And why don't they
I'm drawing a blank.
stack? It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, it makes that mistake where since you get so much loot, it basically becomes meaningless to ever get any.
Yep.
And so the pistol version 4 is slightly better than the pistol version 3. So you kind of just get it and equip it. You never notice any difference when you get new stuff, which just sucks.
Do they have those names too? It's Pistol Version 3 and Pistol Version 4?
Pretty much. It's
That's
like
just.
Striker 2, Striker 3, Striker 4.
I see that bores the hell out of me right there. I want some flavor on my weapons. I don't want, Striker 2, Striker 3. I want like the Striker, and then maybe the next one could be like, I don't know, the Barman Shanker. I have no. I'm making things up here, but you
Right,
get the
right.
idea. It should be a different gun, not just,
Well, there's
hey.
well, so
Gun
there's
plus
like for
plus.
each type of gun, essentially there's like four or five different product lines, and then just so like the pistol might have the Striker or the Hurricane, and you got the Striker 1 and Striker 2 and the Striker 3 and the Hurricane 1, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I agree, because then you have no freaking idea. Is the Striker better than a Hurricane? I don't freaking know. What's the difference? I got to look at the stats and try and figure it out. It's really, really bizarre how poor it is. And then, yeah, you really just don't care about combat, about loot at all. So you also get money, but there's basically nothing to buy because the loot doesn't matter, and you get tons of it anyway. And so like late in the, like about halfway through the game, you get access to this ridiculously good gear, and it's just super freaking expensive. But you have an infinite amount of money because you've never bought anything the entire game. You're constantly selling off your crap, so you just buy it all as soon as it's available,
Excellent.
and then like literally there's not better armor to find, and so you just purchase the Uber weapons, and now you're done getting loot. But you'll still get tons and tons of it that you have to discard, or sell.
Can you just not pick it up?
No, the game loots for you automatically.
Oh. It's like the only way they could have made that worse. That's awesome.
It's very, very strange. Like, because you can also convert stuff in your inventory to Omni Gel, which you use to like help hack if you
Omni
need to.
gel, huh?
You can melt it down to like the special future goo. But the other thing with that is you have essentially an infinite amount of Omni Gel, because you just keep. You also have a 150 item inventory limit, and you hit it all the fucking time. So you got to constantly going through your inventory, cleaning it out, and selling stuff to get useless money, or melting it into goo that you have the max of anyway.
What does the goo do again?
Lets you repair your vehicle, and lets you hack certain things if you don't have a high enough hack skill.
I see.
It's
So
very.
it's kind of just like Deus Ex Machina sort of situation. Does random stuff for you that you might need done.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's engineer stuff. It's
I see.
theoretically what it is, but you don't really need it that much, and you have plenty of it. So I'm not really sure what the purpose of the mechanic is, because they might as well just give you an infinite amount, since they effectively do, because you get way too much loot. So I'd have much preferred not getting loot and every now and then getting some, and then having it be actually interesting when I get some. Like, yes, I got something.
Yeah.
Whereas it's more like a burden. Like, oh boy, I'm about to hit that 150 inventory limit. Better go start melting things.
Playing Neverwinter Nights, which is also it's by BioWare, you get the same experience. It's like every room you go into has like six treasure chests in it, and every single treasure chest will contain like a gold piece or oh, this one has a torch in it. It's the
Nice.
lamest thing, and you have to open every chest because, you know, it might have some crazy powerful magic sword in it. There's a tiny chance, but probably you got, you know, 5 1 gold piece gems and a healing kit.
Right.
And it's just lame as hell. It would be way better if there were far fewer chests and they had decent loot in them.
Well, imagine that, only there are no Uber items. You just, it's nothing but torches and 1 gold pieces all the way through.
And you have to pick up every single torch.
You can choose not to open the chests. But I cannot, in good faith, leave them alone. So I, of course, opened every box there was to open.
Oh yeah, I know. I would be the same way. I'd be like, I'd walk through the room and I'd think, okay, you know what? Screw the chests. I'm not opening the chests. I don't need any more torches. And I'd clear out all the mobs and I'd go over to the door and I'd be like, well, but what if there's something interesting in one of these chests?
Right, yeah. I realized there wasn't going to be anything interesting ever in Mass Effect, and still I kept opening.
Mm-hmm.
Best way I could get my Striker 9.
But you were talking earlier about how the game just like dumps you into hard stuff right away.
Yes.
And that reminded me, playing Baten Kaitos Origins on the GameCube, it's exactly the same way. It's like, I've played RPGs before. This is not a new experience to me. I wiped twice on the training fight in that game. The first time, I don't think I hit the mobs before they killed me. I was just like trying to figure this out, and I'm just dead. I'm like, okay, well, you know, now I know what I'm doing. I'll get it this time. And I come back in, and I'm like, okay, I'm dead. It's like, thank you for the training battle game.
That's fun. Yeah, that's interesting. Honestly, though, I prefer that to the infinitely long tutorial.
Oh, yeah, me too.
That you can't, which, I'll go back to Assassin's Creed real quick. It starts off with a true tutorial where it forces you to sit through and learn what every button does.
Excellent.
And it's really, really stupid. Because, like, they could have just told me what they were. So then you do that.
They could print it in the manual.
And then you actually go through this whole long mission that's basically a training mission. But the thing is, like, the game is Assassin's Creed. The whole point of the game is you get to walk around assassinating people and, like, doing stealth and stuff. The entire first mission has none of that. The entire first mission is, like, you fighting predetermined battles and following along like, this big scripted kind of thing where you don't get to assassinate anybody. And then finally it opens up and it's like an hour and a half in, you finally get your first assassination mission. And I was like, when I got it, I got it like on a weeknight or something. I was like, oh, you know, I'll start playing. I'll go through whatever the first bit. I was playing it. I'm like, ah. 2 hours later, I'm like, I gotta go to bed. I gotta work tomorrow. I was so angry because I didn't get to assassinate anybody. And I've been playing it for fucking hours.
I really am glad they didn't overload on the assassination in the game that has assassin in the title.
Yeah, it's really strange. There's only like. There's not much assassination, honestly. There's a lot of fighting. And not nearly as much assassination as had been promised.
That's pretty bad, I gotta say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the, probably, I would say, the year's, for me anyway, like, the biggest failure, in that there's some really cool parts, and you can tell, like, they put a lot of work into making these really large environments with tons of NPCs in them, and interesting stuff. But then, it's like they forgot to actually include the part where it's a game.
Yep.
And so, like, really quickly at the end, once they had done all that, they kind of shoehorned in some basically little mini games that just get repeated over and over and over. And, sort of like Dave's review of Pirates.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And, that. Because the actual parts where you assassinate people are pretty cool, but before you go and do an assassination, you have to, like, stalk your target and gather information, which sounds like a good idea. It sounds cool. But really what it comes down to is you climb up on top of buildings, find your objectives, and then go through and, like, pickpocket people or eavesdrop on them. But it's, like, it's exactly the same thing. Like, the entire eavesdrop consists of you find the two people to eavesdrop on, then you sit on a nearby bench and press Y, and then your eavesdropping is complete. And you listen
Excellent.
To them. And it's like, oh, that's... And the pickpocket consists of you find the guy you want to pickpocket, and the game will tell you who it is, by the way, so there's no real work involved. You just get near him, and it's like, oh, pickpocket this dude. So you right-click, you click the trigger on him, and it locks on, and then you walk up behind him and press B, and then you pickpocketed him. It's like,
it's pretty
really.
Intense.
And you just do this over and over and over and over and over. And that's
Yeah, that's reminding me of the part where you have to track down the Baron and beat him in a sword fight and then let him go and then go track him down and beat him in a sword fight.
But the culmination of that stuff is cool, because you eventually, like, you build up this dossier of information about your target, and then you go and you have, like, these fairly complex assassination plots. But unfortunately for me, I always ended up sort of screwing up what I was supposed to be doing in terms of, like, sneaking in and taking out the guards one by one, and just get myself caught. But then since I was good at the combat, I was like, eh, fuck it. I just killed the guards and then walked up and hit the dude with the sword
Yep.
until he died. So it wasn't really that much of an. But I actually see where they're going with it. And, like, I guess if the combat, like, if you actually got penalized for failing to, be stealthy, they might have something. But since you can just easily handle every guard in the game at the same time, there's there's no real. It doesn't force you at all to act like much of an assassin.
Yeah. Reminds me, back to World of Warcraft for a minute. In the, if you remember the Caverns of Time,
Yes.
the Escape from Dirnhold Keep
Right.
dungeon, if you do that on heroic difficulty, it most of the mobs get taken out of it.
Really?
But yeah, well, not the placed mobs outside the huts where, that you have to blow up are still there, but
Okay.
like all the patrolling mobs and incidental mobs are gone. They're just like two patrols that walk around. But if one of these patrols catches you, if it aggroes to you, it'll summon these two Dirnhold reinforcements that are like wicked hard to kill.
Interesting.
And you'll probably wipe if you aggro these guys and you're not like horribly overgeared and all that. But and they're on like a 10-minute respawn timer. So basically the point is to sneak around this whole camp and
Right.
do the buildings without getting caught by the sentries. And that's really cool. I kind of like that. And I think the approach is what you're talking about here, where they have if you get caught, all of a sudden you're just hosed. Instead of if you get caught, well, you kill an easy mob and then you go back to what you were doing before.
No, but see, Assassin's Creed's even worse. It's not back to what you're doing before. It's you blew the assassination, just go kill the guy by hitting him with a sword since now he's seen you.
Oh, you can't go back to assassinating him? It's just.
No, it's like it alerts everybody. That's when you have to go kill him.
Yeah,
It's
that's a little extra lame.
like I think you could pro well, it makes like they're trying to present they try to do a little bit better than most of the stealth games where you can kill a guy and everything's resets. It makes sense, right? If you walk in and the guards uncover you and the dude sees the assassin coming for him, he's not gonna go back to doing what he was. He's gonna run, which is what happens in this game. But then you gotta go chase him down and kill him. It's not really much of an assassination at that point. It's just chasing a dude through the streets until you find him and hit him.
Yep. Though, I mean, you're right. In a situation like that, they need to put in some sort of you failed the mission thing instead of
Right.
just,
Please try again.
right, instead of just, oh, hey, well, now do it the other way.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I think what it needs is like a hard mode where that's the case, because I think it's probably like to make it easier. Because
Yeah, almost definitely.
it's pretty difficult to get through the assassinations correctly. So, but I would gladly have turned on hard where it would have made me just fail so I could go try it again the right way, because I would have actually
Yeah.
liked to have seen that once. I literally failed. I think I pretty much failed all of them, but I still, of course, walked through them without dying. Because the guards could not hurt me. They just literally couldn't beat me. About halfway through the game, I was invincible. I just stopped losing. And then, of course, the end of the game is exactly like the beginning of the game, where they decide that you no longer are interested in assassinating, and here's 15 mobs. You walk down the path, another 15 mobs jump out at you. You walk down the path a little more, and then you fight three bosses. You're like, huh, this makes no sense at all.
Yep.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, that's it doesn't sound like the feel-good play experience of the year. It sounds like one of those games that you'd look at and you'd be like, you know what? This game would be really good, except.
Yeah,
You know?
exactly.
It's like maybe if they actually made the game they told me they were making, it would be good. But this one,
Well, you just only see the game they were trying to make. So now I'm going to say maybe if the sequel will be better.
Well, here's hoping anyway.
I do like all the reviewers who give it like great scores, but then just bitch the game doesn't really have an ending, because it doesn't. Like it literally ends kind of randomly, and assuming you're gonna have to buy the sequel to find out more.
Oh,
But
dude.
it's like I fail to see how the reviewers who are giving it 9s and 10s I have a problem with the ending, but not with the fact the gameplay is so broken on every other level. Like, all they can bitch about is the game doesn't have a resolution. By the time I had fought the three freaking endless boss battles, I didn't fucking care about the ending.
Yep.
And, of course, I didn't at all. Ugh.
Do you remember from years and years ago playing Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance?
No. Oh, yes. Oh my God, yes.
You
That was
remember how that.
the PlayStation and Xbox version of
Yeah.
Baldur's Gate, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and you remember how you get through this game, and it's pretty much just like ripping off Diablo the whole way through, and it's like, okay,
Right.
fine. And then you get up to the ending, and all of a sudden it starts getting interesting. Like
Yes.
some weird stuff starts to go on, and then it just stops, and it's like, eh, that
Yes.
come play the sequel if you want to know what happened. And it's like, what?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, that pissed me off.
Here's what I really remember at Baldur's Gate is I played it through with my, or Dark Alliance. I played it through with my brother, and the game does not scale for two people correctly. It's like you pretty much end up just like splitting experience and splitting items and stuff.
Yeah, I
So you
remember.
level, yeah, it's two of you, and the mobs are the same, but you level up much slower, and you're constantly deprived of potions.
I remember you telling me how much trouble you were having. I'm like, "What? The game's a walk. What?"
It was so hard. And there were so many times where we had to basically just exploit our way through it. Because like, there was this thing where if one of the players blocked, like I think one of us was the barbarian and everyone was like the archer or whatever. And so if the barbarian blocked, he could block the enemies. And the archer could shoot through the barbarian. You'd find like a little narrow corridor, like a hallway. You'd have a barbarian just block, and the archer would stand behind him, and the mobs would stuck single file. You just shoot them with arrows until they died. It was like because we had no potions, and so if either of us took like two or three hits, we would die. We would fail.
Yep.
And it's like, well, gotta do what you gotta do.
Reckon so.
And that's how we got through the game. And
Reminds
the
me.
last battle, we also had to make use of that strategy.
Yeah, I remember that specifically. You're talking about how hard the last battle was. I'm like, what? I think I hit her once and she died. It was like the lamest thing ever.
Yeah, because you were like the appropriate level, and
Right,
we
'cause
were
I was
each
playing
at
it
half the
alone.
appropriate level.
And I just walked in, I'm like, whack. And I was playing on, I think, the middle difficulty level because I
Yeah.
tried playing it on hard, and it's like the giant rats have 1,000 hit points, and it took me like a week to kill one of them. I'm like, this isn't much fun.
Oh, yeah. I wish games would do a better job of explaining what the heck the difficulty switch did.
Yeah. And I wish
It's always.
they'd. Difficulty settings in games, I always want it to make the game more difficult for reasons other than. The computer just gets bigger stats. You know, I want it to play
Right.
better. I don't want if in fighting games in particular, that drives me up the wall. It's like you turn a fighting game up to hard, and the computer doesn't play any smarter. It just moves faster than you and hits harder than you and takes more
Yeah.
damage. But it's like I remember playing Soul Calibur 2, and I'm going
Right.
through the event matches or whatever, and I get to the really hard ones, and I can still totally force the computer into one little loop of actions where I can beat
Right.
the shit out of it. By doing the same sequence of moves. It's not smart enough to break this. It just, it's really fast.
I don't even think, honestly, on fighting games that they put much effort into the AI. I think they kind of just assume you're playing with other people.
Yeah, which is one of the things I don't like about fighting games. Because I'd like the A I would probably like them a lot if the AI were actually like developed.
Well, you can go play Virtua Fighter if you want a decent AI. They do. That's also just because until you learn how to, like, Virtua Fighter has a ridiculous learning curve. So
Yeah,
until
that's
you
what I remember
understand
about
how the
it.
game works, the computer will beat the living crap out of you over and over and over.
That's what I remember about Virtua Fighter. It's why I haven't like played the rest of the series at all.
I'm personally a fan of them. I haven't played them in a while, but I was really a big fan of the Virtua Fighter series back in the day. I really, really liked VF3. It was a really deep and interesting game, and that's why I could get nobody to play it with me. Because they're like, "Now let's just play some Tekken."
Yeah,
You just pick
Tekken.
up Tekken and start pushing buttons, and you'll do fine.
Yep.
Whereas Virtua Fighter, you have to really study the game or to do anything. The cool thing is, though, even like even me who's just like slightly better than a newbie, I can just dominate and perfect people who have no experience at Virtua Fighter,
Yep.
which is awesome.
It's the
But
same
it.
way. It's the same way in Soul Calibur, really. It's like if you've looked at the training mode and you have an idea of, because you're every single character has like 80 different special attacks or something, and if you even have, if you even know how to do like three or four of them reliably, you will totally dominate somebody who's just picked up the game for the first time.
Right. Though, Soul Calibur, I mean, it's not that dissimilar from other fighting games.
No, it's
Whereas
definitely more accessible, but it
Virtua
has
Fighter is like its own weird thing.
yeah. But Soul Calibur does have that depth to it of just that mechanical depth where there's so much to learn about the game and so many
Yeah.
ways to improve your play.
Yeah, Soul Calibur is I think Soul Calibur is a really good balance between being accessible and deep.
I think I agree.
It's not like freaking Tekken, which is super accessible but really shallow and boring. Which, any game in which you can like just keep your opponent in the air the whole time is not an interesting game to me. Freaking Tekken sucks.
Except maybe Super Smash Brothers.
True. True. Smash Brothers. So yeah, when Smash Dojo comes out, I may have to buy a Wii again.
January, I think, or early
Yeah.
February, one or the other.
'Cause I tell you, I sold my Wii to my mom earlier
Yeah,
this year.
I remember you said that.
'Cause she wanted one, and I was like, nah, I'm not really playing one. I'll just sell you mine. 'Cause, of course, Nintendo unable to meet demand for more than a year, going solid now.
I know. I couldn't believe that. I was down doing my Christmas shopping down at the mall the other day, and walking by all the places, and they're like, "No, we have the Wii in stock, only $350." I'm like, "Are you
Nice.
kidding me? $350? That's how much
I
it
was
cost
in a
last year."
game store the other day, and they just got in a shipment of 10 Wiis. And they're like, "You want to buy a Wii?" I was like, "No." But I was talking to the guys, and they were like saying they were really stoked because some dude had paid each of them $25 to hold a Wii for him, like illicitly. They weren't supposed to, but they were doing it.
Yep.
And then somebody else had paid them like $20 just to call her when they got the shipment in.
Lordy.
I
That's
mean, it's like,
intense.
like spending $40 or $50 just for the phone call the shipment came in. Jeez.
I know. I mean, to be fair, the Wii is starting to, well, all three consoles, well, okay, the Xbox 360 a little less, but the Wii and the PS3 are both starting to pick up because they've been through that first year in a console's life cycle where no software comes out, and now the titles are actually starting to hit the shelves.
Yeah.
So it's getting a little more compelling than last holiday season when people were standing in line for like a whole day for these things and there's no software. I just
Well, I
don't
mean, we
get
had
that.
Zelda on the Wii last year.
Yeah, but if you were really, really hot for that, you can get it on the GameCube without standing in line for 24 hours.
True. I stood in line for like 2 hours for mine last year.
I remember that. I stood
But
in
if
line
you
for about 20 minutes and they were sold out, and then I left. That was about it.
Yeah. I also woke up early, so I mean it was 2 hours, but it was like, at 6 a.m. in November. So that's an important distinction.
That's fair.
Like 2 hours at 6 a.m. is a little different than 2 hours at, noon.
Well, but the other thing is, not getting up at 6 a.m. has value for me also.
That's what I'm saying. It's worse to stand in line for
Oh.
2 hours at
I thought you
6 a.m.
meant it was
noon.
better. I understand
No,
now.
it is worse.
I dig. See where you're going.
I mean,
But yeah.
even here in sunny San Diego, it's kind of cold at 6 a.m. on November or outside.
Here in the frozen north, it's actually like 50 degrees right now for no particular reason. It's driving me up the wall.
That's warm for where you are, yes?
That's retardedly warm. It should be a lot closer to negative 50 degrees.
I
But
love.
yeah, with the Wii, I don't know. I got Super Mario Galaxy the day it came out completely by accident.
Oh.
Because, well, I went to the store. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to buy Metroid Prime 3. Because I've been looking at it for a while, and it's time to get that. And I went down to the store, and I'm like, ooh, hey, Mario Galaxy's out. Maybe I'll get that. And so I did. And it's just a really excellent game. I remember you always bitching about Mario 64 because
Yes.
it's like all scavenger hunt nonsense and you spend half your time trying to find things in the level and not much time like actually doing anything.
Right.
And Mario Galaxy is just not like that at all. Your
Oh,
objectives
good.
are always really straightforward. It's like it tells you at the beginning you're going here and it's pretty much a straight line. There will be divergences, but they're short and they just lead to like an extra life or something, and then you go back to the main path. So it's pretty linear progress, and it's mostly about jumping on and over and around. And you do a lot of weird things with gravity throughout the game. There are lots of oddly shaped planetoids that have weird gravity to them, and then they're just zones. Anytime you're running across a background and the background changes color, the direction of the gravity is going to change. You can be sure of it. It's gonna you might turn around and flip upward, or it might be aiming to a wall now. It's just really cool. It's really
cool. That does sound interesting.
And it's there's no fall damage whatsoever in this game, which thrilled me to tears. I hated the fall damage in Mario 64. I'm like, what the hell is the point of a game about jumping if you can fall too far and take damage?
Right.
This is totally counterintuitive to me. The whole point of jumping games is to jump, you know, on and over and off of. But you have to be really careful with your jumping in Mario 64 because you'll get hurt if you jump too much.
Right.
But in Mario Galaxy, you can fall from... Well, you can quite literally fall from space and smash into the planet. Mario will, like, look dazed for a minute and then get up and run off.
That's probably a good decision.
Yeah, I was really happy when I found out about the fall damage. There's also just... There's a lot of cool stuff in the game. Just a lot of levels that are just really neat to look at that are just totally wacky. Like, there's this one board. It's one of my... It's probably the hardest one in the game. You're on this ledge sort of thing that looks like an old 8-bit Luigi sprite. And
so the ledge looks like Luigi?
Yeah. The whole area you're on is shaped like the Luigi sprite from the original Super Mario Brothers. And it's made up of four different colors of tiles, just like the sprite was, and it's laid out just perfectly. And every different color of tile has a different property. Like, one of them kills you instantly, and one of them flips over when you step on it, and one of them starts to shrink and then disappears. And you have to cross this thing. You have to collect 100 coins on this grid. And there are, like, 300 there. So basically, the trouble is just surviving long enough to pick them all up. Yeah. And it's just really cool. It's totally inorganic. There's no way you can believe that this is part of a world or anything. It's a big board shaped like Luigi. But it's so cool just the way all the different blocks do things, and you have to be thinking a little bit ahead because you have to get back to where you started when you're done, so you have to make sure you leave yourself a path there. It's just really neat.
Yeah, I played a little bit at GameStop, and it only seems like an interesting kind of game, and everybody I know who, and I surprisingly know a lot of people who haven't, who aren't like gamers, really, per se, own this game, which seems to have a lot of crossover appeal.
Yeah.
And everyone raves about it, so it's definitely on my list to buy when I buy another Wii.
I'd say it's worthwhile. If it has a problem, the control gets a little touchy when you're running on the oddly shaped planetoids sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll end up, I've had it happen, where I'm just holding a direction just to run in one direction, and I end up running in a circle. Because as I go around this object, it's changing what my stuff does. Mm. And so now I'm just looping in a circle. And that can get frustrating when you're trying to dodge and jump over things at the same time. But it's not too big a problem.
Yeah, it seems... Now, have you ended up playing Metroid Prime 3 or not yet?
I haven't yet. Yeah. It's pretty much... It's once again, it's next on my acquisition list. It got bumped by Mario.
Yeah, but you know Smash Dojo is going to come out, and you'll be like, ooh.
I'm going to get it before then.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure on that one.
Oh, okay.
Because I have that in mind, and I'm like, I have to do this before.
Before Smash Dojo. Yeah, Smash Dojo looks like it's going to be a ton of fun.
I'm a little bit bummed to hear that they're not putting in much in the way of hidden characters and things. Because I really enjoyed unlocking the hidden characters in Smash Melee. That was one of my favorite parts of the game. But I can understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is something that comes up all the time, and I have mixed feelings about it, too. Like, I like unlocking things. On the other hand, there's certain games, like, you just want a mode where, your friends are over, and you just want to play it, and they want to do whatever.
Yep.
And they don't want to unlock anything. So,
I thought Smash Melee had a pretty good balance there, because it's not like you start with two characters in one map until you start unlocking things. You have most of the levels in, like, 14... I think it's 14 characters you start with.
It's
a pretty good
mix. It's a
lot.
The
It's
one
pretty
thing
good maps.
that bugs me, not the character so much, but I would like all the maps to be available, because it
I
sucks not
know.
having your favorite map or whatever.
And I have all but one of them unlocked in Smash Melee, and I don't think I'm ever going to get the last one. It's just too hard to unlock. I suck too much to unlock this map. And that kind of bums me out. I have to agree with
Yeah,
that.
see, that's...
But I like in Smash Melee, another thing they did that kind of mitigates that is most of them have like secondary unlocks. Like if you can't meet the goals after so many matches played or so much time played or whatever, it'll
Yeah,
unlock anyway.
right. That's a good plan. You know what I like is what Rock Band did, which is
What's
an
this
interesting
map?
thing. What's that?
Oh, Rock Band. I heard you
So
wrong.
yeah, Rock
I'm
Band,
cool. Rock Band!
which is a ridiculously fun game if you have a bunch of people, and an okay game if you're playing by yourself. It's actually strange how much the dynamic changes, because it's essentially the same game when you're playing by yourself as it is when you're playing with other people. Except you just don't have any of the energy of having other people. But so it's got like a career mode, and there's like a solo career mode where you go through and you unlock songs by playing them. And then there's a band career mode, which is like really the highlight of the game. When you have more than one person, you can pick a career, and like you start off in one city, and you slowly gain fans, and like. You gotta earn up a tour bus and go to other cities, and then eventually a private jet and all sorts of things that unlock more cities. There's also a mode where if you're not playing that, like you're not playing the RPG aspect, you can just go to Quick Play, and right from the start, everything's unlocked in Quick Play.
Oh, that's
But
nice.
in the career mode, you've got to go through and unlock things and get certain, play well enough to beat certain challenges and that kind of thing. But if you just have people over, you can just go to Quick Play and play any of this. Actually, I guess not everything is unlocked to start. You still have to unlock stuff, but a whole lot of stuff is unlocked at the very start in Quick Play,
Yeah.
which is a pretty good compromise. Honestly, though, I wish in Quick Play everything were unlocked
Yeah,
from the
I
start.
could see that. Though I hate to be the guy who has to tell this to you.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're playing Rock Band, you're not really actually playing real instruments, and you're not cool
Yeah.
like you're actually in a band. So
Right,
stop
I've
having
heard that.
fun right now.
Yeah, you know when you play Mario Galaxy, you're not actually jumping on different planets?
Well, no, the thing is, I am.
Oh.
See, I go down to the pet shop and I buy a box of turtles,
Okay.
and I bring them home with me just for when I'm playing Mario games. And
That
then, as
sucks for the turtles.
well, yeah, but whose side are you on here?
Well, I guess I'm certainly not on the side of the Koopas.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
You're
against them.
on the side of the good mushrooms, not the evil mushrooms.
So confused by that. Confused by the whole war.
Yeah. The thing I like, though, about Bowser is what I like about him. You do this whole big save the whole universe and the princess from Bowser, and you thoroughly kick his ass out there on Planet Bowser or wherever it is that he is, and then you throw him into the sun just for good measure, and he crawls back out of the sun because I guess he's just really tough. And then everything explodes, and there's this whole big wild ending sequence. And then when everybody wakes up after the whole big explosion wild ending sequence thing, it's like, here's Mario and here's Bowser, and they're just like both out in front of the castle. And they're looking around, they're like, huh. Yeah, well, that's over. And then they just like walk off. It's like they
The
don't
game's
keep
over.
fighting or anything. They're just like, yep, well, all right. I was defeated again. Darn. And then he just leaves.
You think that maybe Miyamoto intends for Bowser and Mario to be, emblematic of the constant struggle between good and evil? It's a real statement about dualism.
It's possible. It's possible.
That seems strange that it never ever seems to end their conflict.
I always got the impression that it was more symbolic of the eternal struggle between fat Italian men and giant turtles with spikes.
Is he a turtle or a dinosaur?
I'm pretty sure he's a turtle, 'cause he has the shell, and he can definitely suck like his head and his limbs into the shell.
That's true.
So I'm pretty sure he's a turtle.
But he walks on two legs.
Well, yeah, but so do all the other Koopa Troopas, and they're definitely turtles.
Oh yeah. Well, do wait, do they?
They do in some Mario games. They didn't back in the original Super Mario Brothers, but
Right,
like all the
right.
more recent ones they do.
Okay, I guess I'm thinking more of the original ones.
Yeah. But yeah, back in the day they definitely walked on four legs. But
This is. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Bowser. Or King Koopa, or whatever the hell his name is. I like how the Mario, like the supporting characters in the Mario series keep having these randomly shifting names. It's like, oh yeah, she's Princess Peach or Daisy or Princess Toadstool. Who knows?
she's Princess Toadstool, damn it. That's all I have to say on the subject.
Think she's Peach these days.
Well, no, not to me. To
And
me, she will always be Princess Toadstool.
sometimes he's King Koopa, and sometimes he's Bowser. Now, is he Bowser, King of the Koopas? I think, is that the full title or something?
Well, my understanding of the situation, actually, is that originally in Japan, they were Peach and Koopa, respectively. But in the American version, they were Toadstool and Bowser. And then when Mario 64 came out, they decided to globalize this so they didn't have different names in different places and just make it straightforward. So they just called her Peach everywhere. But I guess they liked the name Bowser because they kept that one and they started using it a little bit in Japan, but he's still mainly Koopa there. So they kind of didn't accomplish anything at all except, pissing me off because Toadstool's a better name.
I wonder if like Princess Toadstool is a title and her name is Peach.
This is implied in some way at the beginning of Mario 64, but that's all they ever do with it. And from then on, she's just Peach, and you never hear the name Toadstool again.
What was she called in Super Mario Kart? Was she Princess Toadstool then?
In the original?
Yeah, for Super Nintendo. Original
Yeah.
Super Mario Kart.
I think she was just Princess, actually. It's been a long time. But
Interesting.
hey, since we're talking about the original Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo, we got to work in a Genesis reference here too, because we got to have this SNES versus Genesis discussion at the end of every show.
Did Genesis have any analog to Mario Kart?
I don't remember. I definitely remember a Mario Kart ripoff on the PlayStation, but that was too late.
Right. Hell, I remember Mario Kart ripoff on N64. For a while there, what was with that brief kart racing fad?
I think it's just because Mario Kart was so popular and everyone's like, hey, let's rip this off. And it turned out
Nobody
that it
did a good
wasn't.
job of it, though. I mean, did you play Diddy Kong Racing? That game was terrible.
I never played that, actually, but I did play some other kart ripoff games. And it's like people didn't clue to the fact that what made Mario Kart fun wasn't the go-karts. It was, the game the go-karts were in. So everyone else just looked at it as like, man, we gotta make a game with go-karts.
Yeah, I mean, it's about the point that Crash Bandicoot Racing came out.
That was the exact one I was thinking of.
I mean, at least, I don't know, I mean, that's, like, Crash Bandicoot was always, like, the worst of all the mascots.
Yeah, he was. You are not wrong at all. I remember seeing the original Crash Bandicoot commercials on the television, which were like of
Oh,
this
yes.
dude in the Crash Bandicoot suit standing outside of Nintendo headquarters with a bullhorn. Just like screaming at them, and I'm like, this is the worst commercial ever, and what the hell is up with that character?
Yeah, because man, Crash Bandicoot was way better than Mario 64. I mean, actually, no, nobody believes that to be the case.
I mean, you hate Mario 64, and I'm sure even you don't think that.
No, I don't hate Mario 64. I just don't like it very much. But I'd much rather play it than Crash Bandicoot. Oh,
Oh!
seriously, I mean, it's confusing to me when Sony was trying to sell Crash Bandicoot as like a flagship title.
I know.
Nobody liked it, did they?
I never met anybody who liked it.
And I even played it. I played through a fair amount of one of them, and I was like, this is completely mediocre. There's nothing
Yeah.
remotely interesting about this game.
I had the same. You remember when the PS2 came out? One of the first big releases was Jak and Daxter. They're like, oh, we got this big.
Jak and Daxter.
I hated that game. I
Man,
played
it
it.
sounds so familiar.
I thought it was going to be so awesome because I played it late. I'd already played Ratchet and Clank and Ratchet and Clank Going Commando, and everyone's like, "Oh, you should play Jack and Daxter. It's like really similar. You'll love it." And I just hated it.
What is it? Like, what kind of game is it?
It's a platformer. It's one of the traditional Mario 64 rip-off platformers where basically it's a great big scavenger hunt. But even worse than that, it has really bad control.
Oh, that's good.
And if there's one kind of game you just can't make with weak controls, it's a platformer.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just
Oh,
frustrated the hell out of me the whole time I was playing. I'm like, why did you people think this was good?
you know, it's weird that neither Sony nor Microsoft basically have mascots, because Sony or Sega and Nintendo always had Mario and Sonic,
Yeah. I think
and
it's
now they.
because Microsoft and Sony don't really have a whole lot of first-person development.
Microsoft had Halo,
Is Halo?
which actually, I guess they still have Halo.
I didn't realize Bungie was first person. I thought they were third person developer.
They were owned by
Third party, I'm
Microsoft.
sorry. Okay, that does make them first party.
But then they've now split from Microsoft.
But also consider, I mean,
I
Master
believe it,
Chief
yeah.
doesn't make a very compelling mascot. You know, he's like dude in blue armor number four. It's like he doesn't have a face.
Yeah.
You can't really get a whole lot of face recognition out of a character with no face.
True. But hell, you gotta get something. Just weird. I
I
guess.
think maybe Crash Bandicoot is looking for work. They could try to pick him up.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, you think maybe like Microsoft could get Rare to make them some sort of mascot?
If there's anything Rare has been reliably good at for its entire time in existence, it's making cute mascot characters.
But they don't. I'm not sure what Rare does these days, except cash Microsoft checks.
What else would you do?
They don't really seem to be too big into making quality games these days.
Did you ever play Viva Pinata?
Yes, I own Viva Pinata, in fact.
How is that? I've still never played it.
It's interesting, but there's not much of a game. You just kind of like do stuff. I might like it more if there were some goals.
There's
It's
like.
mildly frustrating. It's really for children. It's like a real kids game. And that just kind of like you play around with your pinatas and stuff.
Huh, there's like nothing you're trying to accomplish at all. You're just
You're just trying to get more pinatas.
weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like The Sims or something. It's really, really
I see.
sandboxy. My girlfriend likes it, and she loves The Sims.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to try the new Banjo Kazooie when that comes out. You do know that.
Oh, are they making one? I didn't even know
Oh
that.
yeah. Oh yeah, it's like their highest profile release since the last time they had a new Banjo Kazooie.
For 360?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably will try that then.
I loved the first Banjo Kazooie.
Me
The
too.
second one I liked a lot less.
I didn't. You know, I think I played the second one in E3 or something once and just said, "Ugh, this is awful."
I didn't think it was awful,
Well, this was
but
E3, to be fair. It was
well,
posted
that's
in a
true.
development copy.
And I don't know. It's, I
Yeah,
imagine
the
it's harder to
reviews
get
weren't.
into a game when there are like 10,000 people around you screaming that they want to play now. That
Yeah,
could.
that's true. But it was just like, I loved the first one so much.
Yeah, me too.
Which I would definitely rank that among the very best N64 games.
Yeah, easily.
It's like
The
Zelda 64, Banjo-Kazooie,
list
GoldenEye.
of best N64 games would contain an awful lot of Rare titles on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Blast Corps, I would have on there. Loved Blast Corps.
Ooh, Blast Corps. Another
Jet Force
underrated game.
Gemini.
Another underrated game. Yeah, the N64 is underrated by pretty much everybody.
It definitely was. It kind of pissed me off too, because it seemed like the only complaint anybody could really come up with about the N64 was, well, you can't fit enough pre-rendered cinematics on the cartridges. And I'm like, good. That's a
Right.
strength, guys.
Look, we want Final Fantasy VII on the N64. We can't have
I love they did manage to crush Resident Evil 2 onto an N64 cartridge. I remember that.
Oh, I never played that.
I played it on the PlayStation. It was like the worst game ever up to that point. But I couldn't even imagine playing it on the N64 because it's like 40 hours of cinematics.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on like three discs or something on the PlayStation. I can't imagine how they fit that on a one N64 cartridge.
Yeah, I think they ended up just getting rid of all the cinematics, doing them real time or something.
Could be. Could be. I don't really even know.
I don't know what they did with the voices though, but they just had subtitles, just captions.
Frankly, I'm still a fan of captions in video games.
It depends. Mass Effect, every single line of dialogue is spoken by both you and all the NPCs,
Okay.
and it's actually really cool because they got good voice acting for it. And it's interesting because half the freaking game is conversation, and all the conversations have fairly dynamic branches, and you're always given two or three or more options of how you want to respond. And it's just actually it's really impressive that everything is spoken. And I kind of dig that. It really helps sell that world.
I guess. I don't know. My main problem with it, I don't mind spoken dialogue like during a cutscene or something,
Yeah.
but if I'm walking around in an RPG of some sort, I'm talking to a dude
Yeah.
and he's talking at me, I can read it a lot faster than he can speak it.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna piss me off if I have to sit there and wait for him to say the whole thing when I'm like, I could be scrolling text at this point, but instead I'm
Right.
sitting here waiting for you. Then it gets at me. And I have to admit, I do like voice samples that like play during battle when you're doing things.
Right.
Characters are like, "Oh, I'm gonna kick your ass," and whatever. I like that. That adds a lot of depth and
Well, again,
maybe realism, I don't
I
know.
think the point is Mass Effect, the dialogue is actually good, so that
That
goes a long
helps.
way.
That does help.
Because in most RPGs, you're like, okay, just scrolling to get the information, tell me what to do, what do I do, what do I do. Mass Effect is actually has a really good script.
But even, well, I don't know. I'm a pretty fast reader. And even
Yeah,
when
me
I
too.
am reading the dialogue, I want to know what's going on. It's like, it probably wouldn't bother me so much, honestly, if there weren't also captions.
So
Because the
Mass
thing
Effect
is,
does not, by default, have captions.
I don't know. I'd be too tempted to turn them on. I don't know. I haven't done it, but if I have captions and voiceovers, now I'm
Yeah.
left in a situation where it's like, I've read the caption, there's a
Yes.
quarter of the way through the voiceover, I can hit A now and clip the voiceovers and then have this stuttery partial voiceover thing going on, or I can sit here and listen to him read something I just read.
Yeah,
And those both
that's
bug me.
inconvenient. That's why I did not turn the captions on for Mass Effect.
Yeah, that sounds like the right way to go. So if you don't have captions, how do you do the dialogue branching? Will it like pop up a caption for that and you pick one or?
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. What happens is at the bottom of the screen, this little wheel appears, and you select which response you want.
From a wheel?
Essentially, there's this. It's actually more like a hexagon with six. Well, it's, obviously, the hexagon has six possible locations. And so, like you'll point. You just on the analog stick, you just kind of say like up and right for that one,
Okay.
or down and left. And then click A to choose the one. And along the edge of the hexagon, it has the line of dialogue that corresponds to that edge. But
I
what happens
see.
is actually, you don't really pick the exactly what your guy's going to say. You pick a sort of general sentiment. And then they're in the same place on the wheel every time. So like up and
Oh.
right is always the cooperative, by the book kind of response, and down and right is always the most aggressive, hostile, fuck you, I'm gonna do what I want kind of response.
Huh, that's kind of cool.
And then middle and right is gonna be kind of neutral, and then the other side is for special sorts of things. And so yeah, so it's like if you're and so basically a lot of times you don't have to look too closely at your possible responses. You know that you're gonna be aggressive in this situation. And then so what happens is you'll get like a line that you'll choose, but the character doesn't say that line. He or she actually says something else that fits that same sentiment, but
Okay.
they phrase it differently.
Yeah, that's pretty groovy. I could see that being engaging. I do like the simplification of it that you're always, going the same way for the same style of response.
Yeah, that makes it work pretty well.
That I could definitely see how that could speed up the the dialogue and make it seem less like, okay, where's the choice I want on the menu? Which is
Right.
what
So
tends.
you, yeah, and the cool thing is, right, you don't have to read like a whole paragraph every single response to figure out which one's best.
Right, exactly.
You kind of know where you're going with.
That's something that always bums me out about branching conversations in video games, is it's like, I know which one I'm looking for, now I just gotta read all these and figure out which one it is.
Yeah. And then the nice thing, Mass Effect is kind of interesting in the way they do it. Like, it's a BioWare game, of course, so you sort of have alignment. But your alignment isn't good or evil, it's Paragon or Renegade.
All right.
Because you're playing a military officer, and you kind of have to follow the storyline. It's not very nonlinear.
That was a me kind of statement. It's not nonlinear.
Right. It's kind of linear. And so you're going to have to save the universe, right? Like, you don't have a choice.
Hate it when I have to save the universe.
Right, there's no evil ver it's like Knights of the Republic where you take the evil one and you decide to rule conquer the universe or anything like that. It's you gotta have to save it. But your choice is basically whether or not you're gonna be by the book and be good or be like the renegade cop who just plays by his own rules and executes people and that kind of thing. So in any given conversation, there's rarely gonna be a wrong answer, but you get to kind of choose how you interact with other people and that sort of affects. So like a lot of times the conversation, you can either talk your way into or out of a fight, depending on how you handle it, which is always kind of fun. And it's cool because you don't have a fixed alignment. You get Renegade points for being a jackass, and you get Paragon points for being nice, but they're not exclusive. It's two scales, so you
Oh,
can be like
neat.
half and half. It's not like a slider where one cancels out the other.
So can you be like maximum both at the same time?
I don't think it's possible because
Okay.
there's just not enough, you can't get enough points in a given game.
I see. But
So
the
like any
system
given,
would support it if the points were there?
yeah.
Okay.
And so what happens then is as your meter fills up on either side, you'll get access to other choices during conversations. Like Paragons get access to certain charm options, you try and
Okay.
be nice and talk to, and then the renegade gets access to intimidate options, which is cool. So
That
then
is
it's like
that's kind of groovy.
yeah, it's a really good system. It's really fun the way they did it, and like I said, the script is just so well done that the conversations are actually fun and entertaining, and not just give me some information so I can go kill more guys. But yeah, if it weren't for that equipment problem.
Yeah.
You know what I really
Well,
think? I
what's
think
that?
BioWare, which is working on an MMO of some sorts in secret, is I man, it feels so much like a seed for an MMO of some
Yeah.
sort.
BioWare's been definitely planting some MMO seeds for a long time.
Well, yeah.
So I'm
Well, I
not too
mean, they
surprised they're
admit they're
finally doing it.
working on an MMORPG.
I believe it.
But they've been kind of coy to what it is. But the combat in Mass Effect, the real time but still stat based kind of hybrid thing, feels very, very World of Warcraft-ish.
Yeah.
And but it's really and in fact too that it feels like you always have a group. There's not a single combat that takes place by yourself. And it just really, and you have these clearly defined roles between medics and or well, kind of healer sorts, sort of soldier sorts, and sort of mage type. It just feels like the tripod from an MMO. And makes me really, really want though a third-person squad-based MMORPG.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. So, would your squad all be composed of players, or would
Yeah,
each player
hopefully.
control a squad?
I think it would be composed of players.
Okay. That could, I don't
Like,
know. The only problem I have with that, it would work great with, playing with friends in a situation like that would be
yes.
phenomenal, but I can't even imagine the state of pickup groups in a situation like that, with every single person thinking he should be the leader,
Yeah, I
Because a
mean,
squad
there.
needs a squad leader, or it's not, or you got a bunch of guys running around at random and not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, it's called Team Fortress 2.
Oh, how's
Yeah.
that go? I've never played it.
Well, it's part of the Orange Box, and it's a
Yeah,
lot
I
of
didn't buy
fun. It's a lot of fun when your team's fucking like working together, and it's pure hell when everyone decides to be a pyro and just go for it by
it.
themselves. Like, ah. And then there's so okay. So there's me, of course. There's a medic class, so you know what I'm doing,
Yes, I do.
and it's
You're
really cool
playing
the
the
way they
medic
do it.
class and you're spending all of your time DPSing anyway.
Oh, snap.
I went there. I
There's
did.
no, sadly, there's no shadow medic.
Well, what's the button
It's
for Mind Blast in Team Fortress 2? That's the only thing you need to know.
Mind Blast totally owns. So it's actually interesting. So as a medic, like you have this healing gun, and you point it at your teammates, and you hold down the trigger, and it heals them, and it'll actually, if they're at 100%, it'll buff them to, as long as you're holding on them, it'll buff them to 150% of their health.
Neat.
So, but and then the cool thing is, like, as you're holding it on somebody, you slowly build up this charge, and once that charge fills, you can use it, and then you and your target are both totally invincible for like 10 seconds, which is just dominant in a, you know, an
Yeah,
FPS
I believe it.
team game. But the annoying thing is, like, while you're healing somebody, you can't shoot other dudes because you got to hold down your healing gun. And so if I'm healing some soldier as we're going for the flag, the enemy's flag, and somebody comes up and starts shooting at me, I can't easily turn around and defend myself. So if the soldier never fucking looks behind him and does not have his voice chat on, it's just called Steven gets killed from behind over and over as I shout, "Look behind you! God damn it!"
I am
And then I
downloading
get
this
blown.
game right now.
What's that?
I'm downloading this right now. I need to sign up for Steven Gets Killed while he screams at me.
So yeah, it's really fun if the team's actually working together because it is really squad based. It's just, you know, team versus team kind of play, capture the flag or control a certain area for a certain amount of time kind of thing, with all these different classes. But yeah, really really frustrating when nobody works together.
Believe it. All right, well, we just looped over 2 hours, so I think we got to stop this one.
Damn it. I guess we did.
On the bright side, this crazy crashy thing didn't crash this time.
Yeah, true. That is good. The crashy crash thing is probably better.
They must
So,
have improved it.
bully for them.
Bully. Bully. All right, well, I gotta wrap up, I guess. So thanks for listening, if you're still listening after all this time. And we'll try
Find that
to,
unlikely.
yeah, well, and we'll try to get back with you again, before the next new year and catch up on a couple more things.